You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's 6:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us. And hey, happy Friday. We officially made it to the end of another work week. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Another day with, where we didn't have to really worry about finding things to talk about. But today is going to be a little bit different. Today we're going to have some fun in the second hour because I don't know if you know this. There is some sort of football contest coming up on Sunday.
They're playing sports ball?
Sports ball is being played, and we're going to enjoy it. We've got today in the second hour two rounds. We're going to play some games. We're going to give you a chance to win valuable prizes.
Ooh.
That's right. We have prizes. We have dug into Jamie's wallet to get prizes. And so because the prize closet, there were just two moths and an old mop in there. So we're working on that.
This is radio after all. Yes.
It is radio. And we haven't had people come in and drop off things. But we do have prizes. And you will be happy with those prizes. We're going to play it at 7:05. And we're going to play it again before we get out of here at the end of the 7 o'clock hour. So be listening. Have your phones ready. You can always call and get involved in the conversation at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. So, yes, there is serious political business to talk about, but we're also going to have a little football-type fun. We're going to talk about the Olympics and all of that. Yesterday, Jamie, you may remember, I willingly threw Ron Johnson a couple flowers. Now, I did not throw the whole bouquet because I knew in the back of my noggin that at one point he would disappoint us again. I thought it might take a little longer. Alas, Ron Johnson, I'm coming over to the office. I'm taking back the two flowers that I threw you yesterday, and I'm leaving you something a little warmer, a little darker, and it'll be in a paper bag on fire outside your door. So, yes, the Ron Johnson, who you know is the chair of the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, which could not be a vaguer title for a subcommittee. We're investigating everything. Like, where's the beef? We're looking into that. all the things. But he's demanding records from Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Minnesota Department of Human Services over alleged large-scale fraud in state-run service programs. We all have been hearing about this, and there's some facts I think Ron Johnson has missed, but Jamie, we will point those out.
We'll get to those. Yeah, he argues that oversight systems fail to catch obvious red flags, particularly at child care centers receiving unusually large payments. Now, as chair of that weird committee that investigates everything, Johnson is seeking records related to actual or suspected fraud in programs including child care assistance, Medicaid, housing stabilization services, and federal child nutrition funding. Now, you mentioned that there's some facts involved in this, right?
Yeah.
This has already been investigated. Federal fraud investigations into Minnesota child care and nutrition programs actually started in 2022 under the Biden administration. The largest case, Feeding Our Future, involved about $250 million in pandemic food aid and allegations that providers were billing for meals or services that actually never happened. Now, the Justice Department led this investigation, as a Justice Department should, that actually looked like a Justice Department we might recognize. And by late 2025, more than 70 people had been charged with, and many were convicted in this investigation that started under President Biden. Then in late 2025 and early this year, this administration paused some child care funding to review oversight, building on cases that were already in progress.
Well, this is par for the course. So we must investigate the investigations. Mm-hmm. We must ignore the fact that, we already started it because, who was it started by? Sleepy Joe.
Mm.
So if Sleepy Joe started it, it must be a very sleepy investigation.
Right.
We have to create the problem so we can solve the problem. That's the MO of this administration. And we're seeing it again. Now, listen, I think anybody who is involved in fraud deserves to be punished. There's no...
Right.
This is, and I, it's tiresome to have to say that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're talking to certain people, they think if you disagree with one thing, you are lenient on everything.
Sure.
And most reasonable people are not.
Right. Right.
So, but we feel, and I feel, that we always have to justify ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because they go, oh, what are you, just for everybody taking all the free money? No. What are you, insane? Of
right.
course I'm not. But right. I'm saying if we're investigating it, if there have been convictions, if the answers are being found, why do we have to investigate the investigators? Why do we have to watch the detectives,
well,
on this, Costello?
Because this has been a talking point for the administration. So Ron Johnson is doing what he's always done, especially with Trump in office, and just basically following suit. Now, specifically, I think this is interesting because he's asking for communications between DHS and the governor's office surrounding Governor Wall's decision last fall to pause 14 Medicaid service categories that were deemed high risk for fraud. Now, remember, Governor Walls basically stepped out of another run for governor because of these child care cases,
yes.
right? So I'm not going to...
He said there it's happening on his watch, which is true.
It is.
And if he didn't, the buck does stop with him.
It does. And I'm not going to sit here...
That's the way it goes.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Minnesota hasn't had serious failures when it comes to fraud in social service programs. That's
real. It doesn't really set them apart, unfortunately. But yes, they are not... They are not immune to the same.
And I mean, for any administration, it's real. It's probably a little embarrassing. It's why Governor Walls is not running again.
Yeah.
It absolutely deserves some oversight. It deserves some fixes, and it deserves a little accountability. And taxpayers shouldn't be paying the price because, you know, of the warning signs that were missed or ignored. But to reinvestigate an investigation, I feel like that's just a waste of time, energy, and probably more government funding.
I was going to say, the worry about this money, well, we're spending a lot of money to relitigate cases that have already been litigated and investigated. It just...
We've done that a lot over the course of the last few weeks.
This fealty to one man at the... Because you want to hold on to your little piece of power,
mm-hmm.
is just insane. I think it should all be investigated. Let's get to the bottom of it. Let's try to make sure it's never going to happen again until the next time, because... People will always find a way to game the system.
Right.
This is how the world works. It doesn't matter who you vote for. If you're crooked, you're going to be crooked.
Yeah.
And you're going to try to get the most that you can for the least amount of effort. That's just how it is. So we have to be on top of it. We do have to have people who investigate this.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have oversight, especially with government funding, where we've seen time immemorial, every program has fraud.
Right.
Every single government program,
yes.
It doesn't matter when. It could have been, I'm sure there was fraud during the Great Depression when they were trying to help people out. I'm sure there were people, you know, who, but, you know, just investigate the other stuff.
Get
the stuff that hasn't been tried.
This is why I say, as much of a problem as I had with DOGE at the beginning of this administration, I also don't disagree with the fact, right? I also we'll just hoist our chainsaw this morning. Because everybody should do that at least once in their life, hoist a chainsaw above their head. As bad as DOGE was, I also understood looking at government oversight and where there's waste and abuse. We just didn't go about it the way it should have been or in any clarity.
Yes. That's back to my point. There was nobody who went, no, we should let the government just keep wasting money.
Do whatever they want. Yeah, no, nobody
but
said
to
that.
To go in ham-handedly and just fire
everybody,
fire people.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's getting fired. Everybody's getting shut down.
Yes. Yes.
This is not. No, you don't even know if you're cutting places where the money is being wasted.
And it turned out they weren't, because a lot of those people had to be brought back it was a thing. And then Elon Musk disappeared. He quit hoisting the chainsaws above his head.
Put down the chainsaw.
And he just went away. He just went away, sort of. And now he just kind of lingers on X.
Like
in the dark spots of X, there he is. Now, Ron Johnson did give state officials in Minnesota until February 17th to turn over these records. records and warned that he could subpoena them if they don't cooperate, saying public confidence depends on understanding how the alleged fraud occurred and how much taxpayer money has been misused.
Well, we understand how it occurred. People billed and for things they didn't do, and they got money, just like Medicaid fraud, just like all the doctors who are always caught in there. Scott is listening in Madison, and he texted in at 855-75-CIVIC. He remembers when he had a chicken in every two chickens in his pot. See, that was he's gaming the system.
He is.
Scott was one of those. He was only supposed to get one chicken for his pot, and he put in, I don't have any chickens, and they sent him a second chicken.
Now he's got two.
And see, Scott, it all started with you. You're the issue.
That's right.
If you want to get called out and name checked here, you could get involved too. We're not afraid. We're not afraid to call out fraud where we see it.
We're not. I think what's interesting about this is Senator Johnson keeps rolling out this $9 billion number. And it's been repeated a lot by this administration when it comes to the fraud in Minnesota's services, right? Human services. But it's lumping together confirmed fraud, allegations, estimates, and cases that are still unresolved. And obviously, this is a big, strong headline because the GOP has been talking about this for weeks. In fact, in Minnesota, it was actually the GOP who gave the information to this YouTuber to go out and start this investigation, which launched this entire scandal, right? So it's a strong headline, but there's a line that's being blurred with what's actually been proven and what already hasn't. And obviously, if there was a little bit more oversight, again, not saying that there shouldn't be more oversight and maybe a rehaul to the system, but it's just creating all of this confusion and a little bit of a red meat topic for a base that is always looking for a red meat topic at this point.
Well, and it's another red meat topic that can distract from other topics.
Right.
It's, hey, look over here. These Somalis are gaming the system and they're committing fraud. And it's not the Somalis. We found that out. But that doesn't matter. It's like, look over here. Don't look over here. I know we'll get into this more next week and definitely as the month goes on. But let me ask you this. Are you excited by the fact that the Clintons are basically throwing down the gauntlet and going, okay, here we come? Yesterday, Hillary tweeted, if you want to play this game, let's play. We're in. I'm like, oh, this is going to be. And listen, I'm not a fan of everything either one of the Clintons have done.
Agreed.
I thought Hillary was a really good Secretary of State. I think she could have made it an okay president.
Mm-hmm.
And
she wasn't
Bill Clinton,
my first choice that go around.
Right.
I'll be honest. She wasn't my first choice. But, you know, here
and
we
Bill
are.
Bill Clinton, for all his faults, I think got a lot of good things done.
He did.
And
he was
yes,
good
he
as
was,
a he did well as a president. We know that he had an inclination for the ladies. We saw that play out. Well, Parker didn't. He was too young to understand.
What? Huh?
Parker Google blue dress.
Blue
that's
dress.
All.
That's
blue
it.
Dress.
And it's not that weird meme from a couple of years ago. Okay.
No.
No.
Not the one where you have to
I
guess
thought that
the
was
color.
White.
That's right. So, but
well, it was anyway.
Yeah, he had an inclination.
Never mind, just...
He had an inclination for the ladies, but
so did Kennedy, so did everybody.
I would not want to go. Here's what I will say. As much as Hillary Clinton may not have been my first choice that cycle, I would not go head to head with her.
You've got a Rhodes Scholar and a Yale Law graduate, Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
You have a Yale Law graduate and former Secretary of State and First Lady in Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
These are not dumb people.
They're not.
And if they're pushing for an open hearing,
they got some things to say.
They're ready.
They got some things to say. Yeah. 619.
So do we, Jamie.
We do. We try to anyway. 619 right now, Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Some of the dominoes are starting to fall in the Epstein case. We'll get into that after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Civic 6:22 right now. We hope you're having a great morning. If you're in Eau Claire listening on 93.5 The Tap or in La Crosse on WLCX, thank you so much for having us on. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. It's the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Don't forget, we'll be playing some games in the next
Exciting.
Hour with a chance for you to win prizes. It's all based on the big football game that's happening on Sunday. Legally, we're not allowed to say the two words that go together to name the game. We go through this every year. Every year, I forget what the legalities are. So I'm just going to say there's a football game. You know which one it is. And it's not the Puppy Bowl. We can say Puppy Bowl.
But it should be. I feel like that might be better than the big game this year. I'm not super stoked. We'll get into it next hour, but I'm not super excited about it.
We got a lot of football talk next hour.
We do.
Including a really great story out of Racine.
So good. You're not going to want to miss it.
Ready for that.
It might involve a former Packers player and some girls getting out on the field for girls' sports. Just saying.
And not like the story we're going to talk about now.
No, this is much different.
This is wholesome.
That one's
and
a good
wonderful.
One. It's a good one.
This
one's
story,
bad.
Well, it is. The story is bad, but the dominoes are starting to fall. And the first big name, one of the first big names in this country anyway, has fallen due to the release of last week's millions of pages in the Epstein files. Brad Karp, who is a name you may not be familiar with, I was not, but he is the chairman of one of the country's most prestigious law firms. He has resigned his position after the release of emails revealing his exchanges with Jeffrey Epstein. This is according to reporting, a high-profile departure in the fallout amongst those with ties to the late convicted sex offender.
Yes.
So it is, we're all still wondering if anybody's ever going to be charged with anything, but sometimes association is enough, and firms want to distance themselves, and Brad Karp is the first one to step down.
Now, the firm is saying that they're very clear. We never represented Epstein, and the statement announcing the resignation doesn't directly reference him. Karp will actually remain at the firm, though. He's worked there for 4 decades, but said the recent reporting had become a distraction and that stepping aside was really in the firm's best interest. Really, you don't say. 3 million documents and you're now a distraction. And so the emails, to be clear of why this is happening to Karp in particular. The emails include a 2015 exchange in which Karp thanked Epstein for hosting what he called a, quote, once-in-a-lifetime evening he would never forget. I can see how being an attorney, that probably, got a little hair standing up on somebody's back of their
neck.
What
do you mean? This is sketchy at best.
Yeah, the email goes on with email chain went on. Epstein replied and invited Karp back and suggested future introductions, including to former Treasury Secretary and Harvard President Larry Summers. So now he's being implicated in this as well.
Yep.
The messages continued over several years, which also add to a little scrutiny of Karp's relationship with Epstein. The fallout from this latest document release, though, is spreading. And one resignation. Come on. We're going to see so many more, I think.
It's, you know what? I think because it's not just happening here in the U.S. And that's
right.
These other countries have no reason to protect people who are in there. So I think the fact that other countries are looking into it, and the Clintons are demanding to testify in an open hearing. All right. So let's do it. Here's some of the things that are happening outside the United States. A top official in Slovakia resigned after photos and emails were revealed that he had met with Epstein. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer, issued an apology for appointing an ambassador to Washington who had ties with Epstein. France is supposedly investigating.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on. Even our dear leader has changed his tune on the Clintons. I don't know if you heard that. Oh, I've always liked Bill, and Hillary is a capable woman, not a nasty woman anymore, Jamie. She's moved up to capable.
That's actually kind of shocking. Pearl clutching, even if he's saying nice things about Hillary Clinton.
Why would a man who has done nothing but lambast these two people for the better part of a decade now come out and say, well, I've always
because they're about to publicly testify in a hearing that the GOP called for.
And again, I go back to their law. I go to their law background. Yes. And they know that if Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton, if one of them says something in the hearing that they're accused of lying about, all they have to say is, okay, open the files and show me that I'm lying. Then you can send me to jail.
Right.
But they won't do it.
Yeah. And let's be real. We'll be realistic. Neither Trump nor Clinton have been credibly accused of any wrongdoing in their interactions with Jeffrey Epstein. So we're going to be clear here and make sure we point that out. Nobody has been officially accused of anything. Now, when it comes back to the United States, Bill Gates is now facing scrutiny because he was named in those Epstein files in this latest batch, especially. And then when we talk about overseas fallout, you know, Prince Andrew or the former Prince Andrew.
Oh, the former Prince Andrew. He's been in trouble for a while.
He has. And now there's even renewed attention on him because there's an email in the dump that confirms a photo that, you know, the relationship he had with the late Virginia Guffrey is actually real. So there's a lot. John,
but he doesn't sweat.
No, he doesn't. He's a very strange man. John from Oshkosh, listening on WISS, says if this is truly a cabal of elites, the investigations and any accountability will all be smoke and mirrors. I don't have faith any real accountability will happen, sadly. I don't know. I agree on one respect with this. In the United States, perhaps not. I don't know if they'll take it as lightly overseas. If there's true.
I hope not.
I hope not. I'll be an optimist.
Sadly, agree a little bit with John.
I do.
I don't have the utmost faith that something's going
to
get done.
I'm going to be optimistic that it's so bad they have to do something. That's going to be my take on it. 6:29 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. Happy Friday. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Senator Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan not giving in and bending a knee on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Stevie Wonder, Higher Ground on a Friday morning. Love it. It is 6:35 right now. Thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Radio Network. We made it to the end of another week. Almost. It's early. We still have to get through the day.
We gotta get through the end of the show. Most people are just getting up and going, we got a long way to go.
Eternal optimist here. That's what I am, or trying to be anyway. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, not always an eternal optimist, more of a begrudging realist, I guess.
There would we be go.
Where I fall on a lot of things. But I do know we're going to have some fun later. We're going to play a game after the 7 o'clock hour. So just be listening and be ready to call. Oh,
little something to do with the big game this weekend.
Big game. We haven't heard about this for a couple weeks.
No.
But you remember Pete Hegseth has decided he's going to target these veterans who made in November. You may remember there was some Democratic lawmakers, all of who had served in the armed forces. Mm-hmm. They made a video and they told people, they told service members that you don't have to obey an unlawful order, which is in the military code of conduct. They weren't just speaking off the cuff.
Mm-hmm.
They were quoting the military code of conduct. Well, Pete Hegseth and the Department of Defense, decided they were going to go after the Senator Kelly,
mm-hmm.
Mark Kelly, who was an astronaut and a Navy pilot and very well decorated, to silence him. And they were starting to go after everybody. Their latest target was Senator Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan, who is a Democrat. Well, what a surprise. But she is not, just like Mark Kelly, she is not giving in to their and placating them. She told, through her attorneys, told the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, she is not going to voluntarily comply with the investigation into the men and women who were on this video, and good for her.
Yes, and she basically accuses the Trump administration, which this is, of using intimidation tactics after she was in that video. And she says she was contacted by both the FBI and the U.S. Attorney for Washington, D.C., Jeanine Pirro. Remember her? You remember her. Trotted her out on Fox News.
On Fox News, allegedly a big wine fan. Mm. Let's just
We'll leave it at that.
But again, not qualified to be the attorney, a U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia.
No, absolutely not. And in a video that Slotkin posted on social media, she said she believes the investigation was triggered directly by the president's public criticism and that she will not legitimize what she calls a politically motivated inquiry. Now, she argued that the video was fully public, which it was, constitutionally protected by free speech, which it was, and that the administration's goal is, big surprise here, not about fact-finding at all, but simply about intimidation. Really? This administration stooping to intimidation tactics?
It doesn't sound right to me.
It sounds like Slotkin doesn't really understand what she's talking about, and I say that, of course, sarcastically.
Yes, of course.
And she says this isn't just affecting her, though, but for anyone who might criticize the government. That is where she says that this intimidation factor is coming in. And let's be realistic. Can we say that Slotkin is wrong? I do have a question about this, though. Do you think that if any of the GOP had found a backbone, right, any of the senators or the congressmen and congresswomen who had served in the military, because there are several on the GOP side, and we appreciate their service, do you think if any of them had gone and made a video like this against just six GOP senators, congresspeople, do you think that this administration would be as up in arms, creating intimidation factors, trying to strip people of ranks after retirement? Do you think any of that would have happened? What is your thought on that?
My thought is it would have happened privately, so as not to show that there was dissension in the ranks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, in ranks, you know, I'm not
I getcha.
Using in a fun way. But Trump would have told them they were going to be primaried. There would have been intimidation. It just wouldn't have been as public so that he could save face. This way you've got senators who are within their rights. And Alicia on the coming in on YouTube says that, you know, active military members are required to refuse to obey unlawful orders.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's
yeah.
That we know. But back to your original question, there would have been some backlash. It would not have been this public. It wouldn't have been Pete Hegseth grandstanding to go after Mark Kelly. It wouldn't have been Alyssa Slotkin having to defend herself in open court and having to give depositions.
Right, because the rules for one party are much different than the rules for the other party, according to this administration. Now, Slotkin in her video actually said that several lawyers advised her to stay completely quiet, but she rejected that approach. And she said that silence would only reward this pressure campaign that she's getting. Now, she also said something about physical intimidation in her video, and she didn't actually spell out what that meant. She did later tell press, though, that she and her family have received threats, including a bomb threat and a swatting incident at her parents' home following this GOP criticism of the video. That's disgusting. It's disgusting because what they did was constitutionally protected. And as Alicia rightfully pointed out, active duty military are required to refuse to obey unlawful orders.
Yes. It goes back to the big argument of January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Who incited this action? When the administration and its Department of Defense, I cannot call it the Department of War because that sounds
like a
make-believe video game thing. But when they put out all this disinformation and they stoke the fire, there are people whose minds are soft and who can be molded and can be weaponized to do things. And those are the people that make these kind of threats. And so the administration acts with little or no regard for how their words land and where their words land. And I'm going to correct myself. I don't believe it's little or no thought. I think they know exactly what they're doing. I think when it's the equivalent of Minnesota Nice.
Mm-hmm.
you say one thing that's not really what you mean. So it doesn't, you know, but you have a meaning behind it. Your meaning is to tell somebody to pound sand, but you go, oh, bless your heart. Ain't that nice?
Right.
Well, these guys aren't using the Minnesota nice. They're just saying things that they hope you get the message. And the people who are listening for those dog whistles hear that message, and then they carry it out. And it is disgusting. And it's especially, you know, in Minnesota where they had politicians killed by, you know, right, mm-hmm. Admitted right-wing activists. It's a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that every veteran isn't up in arms about this, that every veteran, no matter what branch, no matter where you fell in your rank,
right,
and in your service, isn't saying, hey, this could have been any of us.
Right. Right. And I think an interesting twist to this is in the process of Senator Slotkin releasing this video, Representative Chrissy Houlihan of Pennsylvania, who was also appeared in that video, also announced she is going to decline an interview request. Now, Houlihan said that the video was factual, lawful, and squarely protected by the First Amendment, basically echoing the same things that Mark Kelly has echoed, that Elise Slotkin has echoed. And she says that she's arguing that using federal power to investigate elected officials and veterans for speaking out crosses a very dangerous line. And it does. There has mm-hmm. to be a separation. I understand the president is commander in chief. I understand how our laws work and how our government works.
But they never referenced the commander in chief in this video.
No,
there was no,
they did
it
not.
It was not disparaging to the commander in chief.
No.
All it was doing was acting as a reminder to all the men and women in the armed forces that this is your requirement.
Right.
You are not to obey an illegal order.
There needs to be a separation of our military from the president and our politics, right? And our military should not feel in any way, shape, or form that they are being intimidated and cannot speak out when things are not lawful. That should not ever be the case in this country. We see other countries where the president directly commands the military. And how is that going? Let's look at Russia. Let's look at China. Let's look at North Korea. And I don't want to be that person who is speaking in hyperbolic terms. But at the
Too
same
late.
Time, is that what we're going to? We know this president has an affinity for these world leaders. We know that he has an affinity for world leaders who use the military as their own personal gain, for their own personal army. And that should really give pause to anybody who is watching this particular case play out, simply because is that what he is trying to do? And my answer would be, this administration likes to cosplay. So yeah, my true belief is that that is where he would like to see things go. Whether or not we are able to get there because of our laws, I don't know. But I feel like that's where he would like it to go.
I'd like to hear from veterans, whether you're more on the right or more on the left. It doesn't matter. If you served in the military, we'd love to hear from you to tell us, what did you think about this video? Are these senators who are refusing to go in and give more testimony about this right? When you were serving, mm-hmm. did you in fact read this in the code of conduct? Do you agree with what was said? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-724-8422. That's our number. And again, if you're a conservative veteran and you don't like this video, you thought they were wrong, then let us know that too. Alicia, who is a veteran, says our military is designed to have the president at the top of the chain of command. The U.S. has civilian leadership for a reason. Yeah, it's like the CEO of a company.
Yeah.
The president is the commander in chief, but the generals and the admirals and the actual officers mm-hmm. are the ones who are calling the day-to-day shots.
Right. And Alicia pointing out over on social media this morning that she's a Navy veteran and that this concept that we're talking about was drilled into her head over and over. And that would make sense. I also have family and friends who have served in the military, and they've said the same thing. And let's be realistic. I have family and friends who are in the military who don't vote the same way I do. But I don't doubt their commitment to their job or to the United States in any way, shape, or form. They've given some of them a career, have been in it for their entire lives, and they are very good at what they do. And I am in awe of what they do and so appreciative. But I can honestly say that, you know, when I have conversations with them, the ones who vote for as Republicans are usually a little bit more measured in their responses to this, because I'm going to assume that they voted for this administration. Mm-hmm. Others who are more democratically minded voters or independent voters are a little bit more vocal. But at the end of the day, I can honestly say that the people I know who serve or have served would not carry out these unlawful orders. I don't believe they would. I just don't believe they would, because they understand the chain of command and how this is set up.
Well, let's, I too have to believe that anybody who's serving in the military is doing it for the right reasons and doing it to protect the country, not a certain person.
Yes.
So while there are definitely exceptions, listen, I know I couldn't do that job.
Thank you. I am grateful
to the people
who
can.
I was just going to say thank you to our veterans and our currently serving military members. We appreciate you and your families, because that is also a sacrifice.
We're going to talk a little Olympics on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's 6:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. It is Friday. It is the opening ceremonies for the 2026 Olympics.
It is.
I am a huge fan of the Winter Olympics.
Before we
If you are watching, if you're planning...
What is happening?
I don't know.
I don't know
somebody,
either.
Somebody is having technical difficulties.
And it's not me. It's not my fault.
That's good. That's good. Before
it's
we
not
get
my
to...
fault. Are you part of the administration? Who are you blaming? Sleepy Dom?
Are we going to have it...
The dog did it. The dog did it.
Resolved in 2 weeks? Resolved in two weeks?
Two weeks.
All right. Cool. Before we talk Olympics, we've got a couple veterans chiming in over on the text line into our last conversation. And I feel like their comments are important. Len in Madison says that Vietnam era Army veteran, artillery. The oath that mattered was to the Constitution. Steve from Mount Horeb, listening on WMDX, says, I am an Army veteran. I voted Republican early on, and it is true not to obey unlawful orders. It's drilled into your head, especially when you're serving overseas. When wearing the uniform, everyone is looking at you. You're a representative of the United States. So thank you very much, gentlemen, for the text. Thank you for your service. We do appreciate it. And again, I'm sorry, because I'm very excited about the Olympics, too. But I felt like those were important. And kind of, you know, as we wrap up our last conversation about the U.S. and the military. But the Olympics are also overseas, and they're going to be very exciting
yes,
this
they
year.
Are.
There's a good
they're
segue,
gonna...
halfway segue
that
this
was,
morning.
That was very nice. Very nice. You know,
I try. I do my best.
Listen, what am I going to do? I can't. I didn't know that you were. We were going to that. That's all right. Listen, we don't need to communicate. Communication is for the
birds.
Well,
they just came in just as I started talking. They started coming in. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll do better. I'll do better.
Why are you sorry? Listen, it's your show. We're not worried. It is 855-75-CIVIC. Are you an Olympic watcher? And if so, during the Winter Olympics, tell us the event that you cannot stop watching. 855-75-CIVIC, which is the number you're going to need after 7 o'clock, because big game coming up when we switch from Olympics to football. But I'm unapologetically a Winter Olympics fan.
I love
over
the Winter Olympics. Yes,
fan.
Agreed.
And I don't know why, because I don't participate in any of these sports.
No.
Let's be honest, I'm not sprinting either. So I don't pole vault. So the Summer Olympics, I can't dive. I don't look good in a Speedo, depending on who you ask. So it's a whole thing. But for those who don't know, you may go, oh, Last time, the Winter Olympics, remember, everybody got into curling. That was the big thing. We all followed curling, which my mom did when we were kids.
Your mom did?
There was an ice rink right up at the corner.
Okay.
And I think she was trying to get away from all of us, and she she went up curling for a while.
Was she any good?
We never got to see.
Oh, this was mom thing. She wasn't actually curling. She was at the bar with her friends having to knock back a few martinis.
There was a bar at the ice rink.
There,
so
see?
You may be right.
Brian's learning so much about his mom right now.
Yeah.
No, listen.
I'm a mom. Well, I know how it goes.
Listen, I wouldn't blame her. Five boys and your husband, I'd go and have a beer too. So the games actually started on Wednesday, some of the preliminaries, and I have already watched curling.
Okay.
So, but the opening ceremony will be televised here tonight. They are happening at a number of cities around Italy. Now, this is the first Olympic Games to officially be co-hosted by two cities, Milan and Cortina.
Oh, interesting.
Which sounds like girls I dated my summer away. But... But there's going to be cities, just like in the U.S., just like anywhere, they're not all in one rink because they have to be spread out.
Sure.
So it's going to be Cortina and Bornina and Lavigno, and all the Italians listening are like, he is
butchering this
beautiful language.
Butchering this, yes.
Milan, I'm saying correctly, and Verona, I'm saying correctly.
We can do that in Wisconsin. We know Verona. We've got that one down.
We also have a number of Wisconsin athletes who are participating.
We do.
Laura Dwyer, for one, she's in the wheelchair curling, on the wheelchair curling team, which is very cool. And there was, let's see, River Falls. We were talking about River Falls off the air there.
I can't remember why we were talking about River Falls. It's not really a place. It just comes up in conversation, so it obviously had to be specific.
I'll tell you what.
Great,
we're going to be
town.
Talking about it because Liam Cunningham is from there, and he is in sled hockey.
Ooh, what is sled hockey?
I don't know what sled hockey is.
That is Paralympics.
It is Paralympics.
All right, thank you, Parker.
So we've got a couple Paralympic athletes going there. And then, of course, we've a lot of athletes from Minnesota, as you can imagine. Actually, Kendall Coyne, who plays hockey, she was previewed as one of the top 20 athletes to watch in the Olympics.
Okay.
She plays for the Minnesota Frost in the Professional Women's Hockey League.
Love it.
So she is on. She has already won. She's already got one gold and two silver medals.
All right. So she's doing well already.
Yes.
But I think
Alicia says sled hockey is fun to watch. I'll have to check
it out. She also likes figure skating, and she also, my comments are scrolling off my screen. What is she? Figure skating and hockey. Comments are scrolling off my screen this morning from social media. So thank you to everybody chiming in. Do you have a favorite sport when you watch the Olympics, or do you just enjoy all of it?
I love watching the bobsled and the skeleton. Because in my mind, like most of us, I think I could do that. Because how hard is it to strap into a sled and go down a hill?
Except you have to run and then jump.
Yes, I'm sure it's very hard. And again, the skeleton suit is not flattering to my body type.
Right.
But those are the ones I think, like, we've all gone down hills. That would be great. I love watching the hockey games. And
always.
I also like the, I think it's a biathlon, where they ski and then they shoot.
Yes.
Because I'm like, ooh, that's like the Iger Sanction, which is a movie with Charles Bronson.
Our producer, Parker, Frank, pointing out that NHL players are back into the Olympics for the first time since 2014 as well. So that should be exciting. Pro athletes going against not pro athletes. It's always interesting. It's 6:59 right now.
Some of those countries, they're pro.
They are. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, and we're going to play a game after the news.
Games.
Get your phones ready. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.